Good morning. How y'all doing? Good after yesterday. Good game. Yeah? Pretty good. All right. Yeah, welcome to New Life. If this is your first time with us, we are thrilled to have you. For everyone, it is great to be together. It matters that you're here, each and every one of you. Your presence is a gift to the world. It's a gift here this Sunday morning. And our prayer is for each and every person, whether you're in person or you're online, is that we would all experience God's presence in some shape or form today, that we would get to experience a glimpse of his glory, and that that would give us what we need for today and this week, and it would inspire us on as we continue to follow and move through life. And so recently, a side story I had was I was out at Seattle, Washington, meeting up with some friends from college. And when we got ready to leave, one of the guys, you know, people, friends don't always give you the best advice. Anyone relate to this? Like, they said, hey, let's get the cheap flight, the red eye, which I hadn't flown red eye in years, and I was reminded of why I don't do that. But so we show up at the airport at like 9:30, 10 at night, and there's, it's this big, like, horse, you know, what is it, shape, banana, rainbow, like, we come in at one end, and the guy says, hey, let's just walk the whole corridor. Like, mind you, not after you go through security where there's actual shops and food and cool stuff. He's like, let's just walk through. And I'm thinking, what are we doing? But, you know, when there's a flock of people, you go. So we're walking through this corridor, and, you know, we're seeing amazing things like empty registration tables and kiosks and empty queue lines where people would normally be. It was like, as you would expect, walking through the corridor on the wrong side of security. We get all the way to the end, and we're like, finally, can we go through? Can we go through security? They're like, yeah, let's go. So we walk to the first door, closed. We go to the next door, closed. We go to the next door, closed. Finally, we ask, we're like, how do you get through? And they're like, oh, at this time, there's only one door. And we're like, where's that? All the way back at the other end. So we have to go all the way back to the other end. We finally get there. There's like an empty queue, and we're like, oh, yes, it's easy to get through. And they're like, no, this is for pre-check. Sorry. And then we're like, where's our line? And there's like this 75-yard length line of people that goes back and forth. But it was, you know, you finally get through. We had the one door, and we just all wanted to get home. So it wasn't a big deal when we got there. We found the one door. And it was nice. They knew our name. They checked our luggage to make sure it was packed right. I mean, they knew our name because we gave them our license. But it's still nice to be like, hi, hi, Jay, nice to meet you. But we made it through. And anyways, as I'm sitting there in this moment, following these guys' bad advice and having this whole experience, I was reminded of the story and the words of Jesus that we're going to be looking at this morning. And so we're going to be looking at the book of John, as was mentioned. We're going through looking at who Jesus is by his own words and looking at the seven I am statements that Jesus makes that are recorded in the book of John. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to look at another series of I am statements that Jesus makes. So Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you that we are gathered here, whether in person or online, or we're catching this even later this week in a recording. Lord, I pray that your presence would be here, that we could engage with you, that we would hear your words afresh and new, Lord, that we would listen to who you are and what you want for us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, we have free ones at the Info Center. They're actually pretty nice. Imitation leather cover. I think it's imitation, but they're nice. It's a free gift. We'd love for you to have one. If you have a Bible, you can turn with us. We're also going to have the scripture up on the screen. And how many of you, we're going through the book of John and Acts in a reading plan this year. How many of you are reading through the book of John right now? Raise your hand nice and start. Look at that. That is awesome. I love it. You know, we're going to get through the word today together, and that's great, but nothing can replace you getting time in God's word alone. Scripture is our foundation. We believe that God is brilliant, his words are true, and he reveals himself through the Bible. And so keep leaning into the scripture on your own. We're going to be looking at scripture together today, but nothing can replace you getting that time with God in his word alone. We don't eat meals one meal a week, most of you. I think you eat every day. Same way, we need to be feeding our soul daily, getting in the scriptures. And so if you do have a Bible, you can turn to John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, Jesus begins to tell this story, and he paints a picture for everyone, a picture that was commonly understood to the people at that time. And he's talking to the Jews. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." And so this was common imagery for the people in his day and age. In their culture, there were sheep, there were shepherd, there were sheepfold. People knew that if a shepherd came in, he would talk. Sometimes there might be a little call. The sheep would follow the shepherd's voice only. And this was understood. And they still shepherd the same way to this day. Sheepfolds you can still find in a number of places. And especially in Israel of their day, there were sheepfold out in the wilderness at times that were just kind of makeshift. Maybe it would be sticks and brush piled together in a shape of a circle, a square, or a rectangle. Or sometimes it would be like part of a cave, and then they build rock wall off of it. If it was near a city, they would actually be a little bit better looking. It would be built with stone. So we have an image of you for you here, because a sheepfold is not something that we see day in and day out, but this is what it was, a structure, either circular or square. That one's square. It was rocks high enough that predators wouldn't be able to get in. Sheep can't get out. And then there's one doorway in and out of this whole thing. Sometimes if you were near a city, there might be a hired hand. If you were in the wilderness, usually the shepherd themselves would actually become the door. There wasn't a gate like in this picture. It's just a narrow enough passage that the sheep can get in. All the sheep go in, the shepherd sits and is the door, so that predators can't get in and sheep can't get out. And if you had multiple flocks, they may come together and just have one shepherd sit in the door. You may have five flocks all put into one place together, one sheepfold. And then at the end of the day, the next day when they need to call them out, the shepherd just walks in, starts talking. Its sheep know its voice, that shepherd's voice, and they follow him right out. He counts to make sure he has them, and then he goes on his way. It's pretty incredible to watch. You can find videos online of this stuff. But notice it has one door. And so this next one is a similar what you might find somewhere. Actually, that's pallets, but that's not a sheepfold because that has two doors. Those are actually goals. Little plug for Sunday Palooza. This is human foosball right out front. You can go there later today, but that's not a sheepfold because there's two entrances. All right, again, another picture. This is from either England or Scotland. Stones in a circle and one entryway. I highlighted it in yellow in case you're missing where's the door. That's the door, and that's where they would sit. And so this is what Jesus is talking about, explaining to the people using this image. And then he continues, even with this, it says, verse 6, "This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them." So they're like, yeah, we get it. Thanks for all the facts about shepherds and sheepfolds and doors. Like, we understand that. We see it every day. But what are you actually saying, Jesus? And so this is what I love, because then he goes in and he unpacks this. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door." He says it twice. "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He alone is the door." There's many people out there will say, well, isn't Jesus just one of the ways to get to heaven or to get to God? Aren't there many ways, many religions? Jesus is saying he is the door. And if you're wondering, well, what is the context of that? Let me take you back to the picture. This is the context. I am the door. How many doors? There's only one in a sheepfold. This is the context of his statement that I am the door, that he is the one door. And the exclusivity of Jesus is not unloving. A lot of people think, well, if he's saying he's the only way, isn't that unloving to everyone else who thinks they have a way? No, it's actually the ultimate expression of love to come and declare the right way to go. Let me give you an example. Those same guys that, you know, we wander at an airport together in our 40s. When we were younger, much younger, in college, we went and had a spring break trip, and we went to a weekend away at Lubeck, Maine. Yes, spring Break destination. Huge. Northeast Maine, it's like out in the middle of nowhere. We stay at this place, and then we go, we're so close to Canada. Shout out to Greg. You would probably know. You would not have made the mistake we're going to make. So Lubeck, Maine, we go, let's go to Canada. And we're like, I think we have to go north and over to get to St. John's, because we're like, we're going to a sweet coffee shop, which, mind you, the only thing we ever found in Canada was Tim Hortons. And we could have found that right across the border. But as we're like, do we go north? One of the guys is like, no, I saw signs in town, Canada this way. We're like, okay, let's go. So we go, and sure enough, there's a bridge, and you cross it, and you cross into Canada. And we're like, this is awesome. And we get to this little booth, and there's a guy there, and he's like, hey, welcome to Canada. What are you going to? We're like, we're going to St. John, looking for a coffee shop. We want to get in the scriptures and have some prayer time. And he's like, all right, have a good time. Waves us on our way. We drive for about 10 to 15 minutes, and we come to this spot that's like a U-turn. And we're like, what is this? And there's a barrier. And you look, and out in front of us, there's nothing but ocean. We're at the end of an island. We literally are on an island. There's no way to St. John. So we turn around and we drive all the way back. We're dying laughing because we know that this booth is a tiny little booth. There's only one guy working. He's welcoming you, and he's saying goodbye. So we pull up, same guy. He looks at us. He's like, welcome back. You know, imagine that, right? Like, you didn't make it to St. John, did you? We're like, he must have been just dying laughing. Like, look at these American yahoos thinking they're going to St. John. They're going to be back here in 10 minutes. This will be fun. So that is not good, though. Like, he knew you can't get there, and he didn't say anything. He just let us go. This is different. Like, if Jesus, who is from God, comes down, and he knows he's the only way, do you realize how unloving it would be to not declare that? And so he declares it. He gives the picture of a sheepfold that everyone in his culture would understand and know. How many doors? There's only one. And then he says, I am the door. I am the door. His exclusivity is loving kindness to declare that he is the one true way. He is the door. It's through him that we find life. And that's what he goes on. And he says this, after saying, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That was his purpose. He wants us to find the door because he wants us to have abundant life in him. And as a church, if you go to our website and you go to the About page and look at our vision, our first paragraph, we are wrapped up in this statement. The first paragraph of our vision says, we're a multi-generational church with a heart for the next generation. Everything we do is about seeing Christ alive in us and Christ alive in others. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. It's right there. This is what we're about. We dream of that abundant life breaking out in the hearts of those who call the University of Michigan and the Ann Arbor area home. We dream of men and women in every generation being caught up in this redemptive adventure and living sent as disciples who make disciples, imparting to each one a lifestyle of worship, community, and mission. We want people caught up in this abundant life, knowing who the door is, who the way is, and following him. An adventure, we're following Jesus. And that's where he continues to unfold and unpackage this picture. After saying, the abundant life came that they may have life and have abundantly, he then says, I am the good shepherd. So he's not just the door. He's also the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. A shepherd's job is to guide, to protect, to provide. And Jesus does all of these things. And we've experienced hired hands in our own lives. Poor guidance, like my friends at an airport, or like, hey, we can get to Canada this way. We've experienced poor protection, poor provision in life. And honestly, a lot of drive and ambition in life grows out of the pain and hurt of bad shepherding we've experienced in life. And honestly, the best the world has to offer will eventually fail us and fall short. You ever heard it said, don't meet your heroes? The reason they say that is because they'll often disappoint. I have experienced that time and time again. People I looked up to, and I meet them, and there's just things about them that I'm like, oh my word. But I've never experienced that with Jesus. Jesus is my hero. He's my Savior, my Lord, my King, and in Him, I have always been met with good shepherding, with guidance, with protection, with provision. And it's not always what I want. You heard the slice earlier, not about our will, His will. I love that. Thank you, Brian. It was amazing. I haven't always got what I want, but He's a good shepherd and He gives me what I need. He's a good shepherd and He will never leave you nor forsake you like the hired hands. And He continues on. He says it again. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. See, it's about a relationship. The Father and Son have this amazing relationship. Jesus on this earth talked to the Father. The Father spoke from heaven at times. When He was baptized, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. So we too have a relationship with Jesus, and He laid down His life for us. If you've ever had the question, am I loved in this world? The answer is a resounding yes, spoken by God. Jesus died so that you could have life. He loves you that much. There is no greater love. And most of these other religions in the world, they point to what we must do. Christianity points to what Jesus did. He paid the price for us. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. And He's the door. He is the good shepherd and the door who laid down His life, paying the price that we owed, that we could be home with Him forever. It's total grace, undeserved, unmerited, and better than we can possibly imagine. It's an abundant life. And it wasn't just for the Jews that He was talking to. Jesus had much bigger plans. And that's what He moves in to share in verse 16. He says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. He was talking about the Jews, this fold He's speaking to. He's like, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. So He's talking about all the Gentiles, the rest of the world. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. One flock and one shepherd. There's only one. You know, as humans, we were made to flock and follow. Social media and marketing, they are just in a boom of understanding the science of all this. Because people flock and they follow. This is how we were made, and Jesus knew that. And He came and He gave this image, and this is what He put in front of us, is that I'm the shepherd, and I want one flock, and I want to lead you. And there are many religions in the world, many claims of how we can make peace with God, and there are many practices offered that you can follow to help you reach transcendence or whatever is beyond the grave. And many will drive to the end of those roads to discover they fall woefully short. Like me and my friends discovering we can't get to St. John from an island. In fact, there's one central claim in Christianity that has in Jesus that sets it apart from all other religions, all other faiths, philosophies, and practices. And this is what Jesus then turns to explain. He says, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. That is what is different. That Jesus has the authority to lay down His life and take it up again. The leaders of all these other religions and ways, their lives are marked with graves. But the grave could not contain Jesus. He had the authority to take His life back up. rising from the dead, not only paying for our penalty and our sins on the cross, but defeating the grave, giving us eternal life, not just as they said earlier, in quantity, but in quality, an abundant life that we start to live here and now. And this exact thing that he says was a charge from the Father. We've heard this. You've probably heard this from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. He came and shared that with all of us. And as we look at this, this is where we talked a few weeks ago. Admit, believe, and choose. Admitting is just realizing we fall short. That we admit that we've done wrong, that we've sinned, and we ask God to forgive us for disobeying him. And then we believe God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sin and trust that you are forgiven because Jesus made you right with God. He is the door. That's what we believe. He is the door. But then it's beyond that. It's also choosing to spend your whole life depending on God's power to help you live and love like Jesus. Choosing to say, you are the good shepherd, and I want to follow you. And I would just say, if you don't have people in your life who are helping you follow Jesus, will you change that today? We were designed to flock and follow together, to learn to hear and obey with others. Just like the sheep, when the shepherd enters and he speaks, they know his voice. We learn together, hearing, obeying with others. There's a story, one of the guys that I traveled with and had these stupid adventures on, when we were in college, I was a junior and he was a freshman, and we had a prayer and worship night in the center of campus. And when we were done, a few of us, there was four of us at the time, wanted to go spend some more time in prayer. And so we were getting ready to go, and one of the other guys had met this freshman and said, hey, I think he should come with us. We paused. The two long hair guys, myself and this other guy who were outdoor ed majors, kind of hippie-ish, granola, love the woods. You know, we just want to go. And he's like, should he come? And we're like, sure. And so the freshman looks at my friend John with long hair and says, yeah, so how long are we going to pray? Thinking 10, 15 minutes. And John turns and without a beat says, as long as it takes. And then we go. And that guy's eyes, the freshman is like, what did I just get into? We go, we pray. We prayed for well over an hour. I don't know how long. We get done. We were just like, that was awesome. We experienced the presence of God. It was encouraging. We didn't preach scripture. We didn't say all these things. And at the end, that freshman, he looks at us and he says, I got to share some stuff. I'm like, okay. He unpacks his life and just shares about all this sin and this brokenness. And this is a guy who grew up in the church. He believed. He knew the door. But he said what he experienced that night was the presence of God in us. He saw Christ alive in us in a way that he had never experienced anywhere else. And he knew that he had to confess. And he said, I need to choose to run after however you are running after. I want to flock with you. He joined the crew. He's one of the seven that we still get together every single year. He's not a pastor, a minister. He's an elder in a church. He's a business owner. He grows plants. Amazing green thumb. Anything I get, plant, it's dead. This guy can bring stuff back to life that's dead. Like, awesome follower of Jesus. And it all came from this night of just being invited into flocking with others. And I would encourage you, if you are trying to fly alone, you're not going to make it. Find people. There are people in this room who would want to run with you, to flock together. And if you are on the inside, you're in a group, you got your flock, look around for who's out and invite them in. You may find someone like that, my friend Ox, who got pulled in and is on fire for Christ ever since. This is what God calls us to. He is the door. He's the good shepherd. He's inviting us in to follow him and be a part of his flock. And this is the interesting thing, is where this passage ends is not what I was thinking the first time I read it. I thought, yes, this is awesome. How are the people going to respond? And this is what it says. There was again a division among the Jews because of his words, these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Really? And then others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And the first time I read that, I was shocked. But we shouldn't be shocked. Because really what's at the heart of that is it's people not wanting to trust that he is who he says he is. They're resistant. But this is the Son of God who came, sent by the Father, declaring, I am the door and I am the good shepherd. And my encouragement to you is, would you trust and lean into that? Whether for your first time today or this week, you can talk to someone, you can just pray, Lord, I admit, I believe you're the door and I want to follow you as my good shepherd. You could do that even this morning. For others, if we've been following Jesus for a while, there are people around us who are longing to discover the truth of who Jesus is. And you don't have to prove it. Just get them to flock with us and they will experience Christ alive in us in a way that we could never do. This is the beauty of his church. This is what he invites us into. This is what he wants. So I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I pray that you would continue to move in this morning, that you would minister to us, that we would experience your presence. Lord, you are the door. Help us believe it. Lord, you are the good shepherd. Let us hear your voice. And Lord, as we take steps to lean in and trust you and walk with you, with each other, Lord, would you show your goodness through your guidance, your provision, your protection, that we would experience your love in a whole new way, that you are our good shepherd. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.